You're listening to the Dome Patrol Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast, the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network. I am your host, Jason, today because Jeff is currently flying on a plane. And we're back after taking a week off last week. It's not like there was a big game or anything to talk about. It was Mardi Gras week, and life kind of got in the way. I know Jeff had to go down to Florida for family things, so we kind of took the week off, but it was nice at the end of the season to kind of get a little bit of a break. But now we're back, and we start the long off season that is going to be ahead of us. We've got, 7 months, a little under 7 months until the first game of next season. But in the meantime, we will have free agency opens in less than a month, and then we'll have the draft, and we'll have a bunch of mock draft shows that you two – Wesley and James, who are with me today, y'all are going to put out. I won't participate or listen to because that's not my thing. But we will have stuff to talk about. We'll have some fun things planned over the next few weeks leading up. You know, the draft is kind of a big event, and then it's kind of the cool down until mini. You know, you'll have a mini camp here and there, but not much. But it is an interesting off season. So on today's show, we will. I guess we'll give a little bit of. I guess of our final thoughts about the Super Bowl. I know it's a little over a week and people have kind of already given their thoughts, but we'll give our thoughts on it. And then we'll talk about some of the hires that the Saints have had now that the season has ended and we were able to officially hire someone who was involved in the Super Bowl. So that's kind of what we'll talk about this week. So put your seat back, get your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times and enjoy the show. I think it's close enough. Whatever. It's not like I've done this handful of times.
It's been a week since we recorded. So
right? I forgot.
Two weeks. Sorry, 2 weeks.
I mean, who are you again?
Yeah, Ben. Yeah, Ben.
Oh, okay. So we're here with Wesley and James. What's up, boys?
What's up, man? I think we did decide just to help through the offseason. We are all we're voting and we're picking a UFL team that we're going to follow and make sure that we cover weekly, right? I think that's – is that what we said?
We've done that on the Dome Patrol before with the XFL. Remember, Jason?
Yes, we have. Maybe we just
that lasted 3 weeks.
I mean, there was a New Orleans team. I don't. Maybe we just pick a team to follow, and just say, "Hey, here's what they did this week." I don't know any of the players. This was the score. Did you watch it? Probably not.
That's what we do. Is we find like the one player that went to LSU that we actually know, and it was like whatever team he's on, he's the guy.
With that in mind, I guess we will move on in.
There was a Super Bowl.
There was a Super Bowl, and the team won.
The second half of it was a great game.
Yeah.
It was an exciting, fun game.
I did win my football squares at the old job that I left. We used to do the football squares every year, and I actually ran it for the last few years. So before I left, I paid for my 4 squares, and over my 19 years there, I won 1 square the entire time. And wouldn't you know it, I win the first quarter 0-0 of the Super Bowl. So of course, I won the first quarter of my squares. So that was kind of a nice thing. And I should have had if they could have held them at the end of the half, or like there was a way for me to have a 0-0 again at the end of the second quarter, but it just didn't pan out. But yeah, the first quarter was first half was kind of boring. Commercials really weren't all that great.
You should quit a job every year before the Super Bowl.
Right? I mean, if it
brings you good luck.
I mean, if I can get $125 every time, that works out.
Yeah. There was a few good commercials. The Deadpool commercial was awesome.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Really excited. And I don't know. I can actually say, like, I don't know if I want to watch another trailer for it because, like, I don't want to know too much.
That's enough.
Yeah. Like, I know that they're.
I want to know that it's out there.
The thing that's good is that I could trust Ryan Reynolds to actually put out a trailer with absolutely no movie scenes from the actual movie in it just to screw with people. Like I could see him doing like the trailer with just seriously nothing that happens in the movie just to lead people the wrong way.
Yeah, it was very cleverly done. But then that's what Deadpool's all about really, isn't it? It's, you know, the two films that have come out so far are both really good.
And then, of course, the trailer shatters the record for most views in the first 24 hours. So it's definitely the jolt that the MCU needs at this point.
Yes.
But, you know, getting back to the game, yeah, it was a slow first half. And then you had the halftime show, which seemed longer than
normal.
Man, no, I don't have time.
I think it feels that way every year. I think it feels like forever. All the, like, I don't know. I feel like I remember that the last few years of being like, oh my God, why is this still happening?
I mean, I know it's a big production and whatnot. It'll be fun to see what they do next year in New Orleans. I'd love to see like Cash Money. They're just not big enough. I mean, you probably get maybe a little Wayne, but at this point, he's not even a fucking Saints fan. So that's all I'm concerned. Fuck him.
Why? So they actually use current performers who do travel and do concerts. Like I saw like this week or last week, Usher tickets went on sale for a concert here. Like he's traveling. Why can't he sing the song? Why do they have to lip sync? And if they're going to lip sync, why are they not as good at it? You take Kevin Hart or The Rock and put them on a lip sync show and they're better at lip syncing than professional musicians. It's the weirdest thing. Chris Pratt's better at lip syncing than Usher. Why?
My only guess is because they know how many people are watching. He doesn't want to sing himself and look like shit, and then everybody rags on him. I don't know. I don't know.
But if he's gonna do that, like, why can't he lip sync? Actually, well, does he not? Why can't he lip sync with the song?
I don't know.
And if you can't, and they know, like, give him a bigger microphone so we can't see his mouth. Like, there's got like put him in a Bane costume and just like Bane. Usher Bane is singing today because the bad lip singing, him and Ludacris were so bad at the lip syncing that it was awful. Like you
haven't they ever heard of podcast microphones?
Right.
I mean, you're right. You'd love it to be New Orleans themed, you know, Cash Money or something like that. But what I want to see a band again. I don't want to see pop music.
No, well,
I want to see Metallica. I want to see the Foo Fighters.
So,
I want to see
a lot of people are pushing for Green Day and U2 to redo The Saints Are Coming, and that's because it'll be 20 years.
And they'll still have. I mean, you know, they had at the game in 06. I mean, they had the brass band out there with them. They had Trombone Shorty out there with them. So you could still bring New Orleans musicians out there with them, and they can help play the same.
Trombone Shorty's
they...
gonna play at the halftime. No, somehow doing something. Yeah. He's gonna walk out and do something.
They could literally just do almost the same set that they did beforehand, and it'd be fine. I mean, I know these days it kind of tends to be like shorter medleys, so they can get in more songs.
What's the bad version of the New Orleans halftime show? Like who's the bad choice that you're just like, why is this happening? That's not New Orleans.
I mean, it's probably going to be what they go with. It's not going to be New Orleans, kind of... unfortunately. Best musical city in the country, and they're not gonna
big easy football, right? that slogan heard around New Orleans for years and years.
But I mean, maybe that's what the game needed, because the second half, you know, was great. It was back and forth.
Back to talking about football. Great.
Oh yeah, I was like, I was just, can Master P do ghetto dope? Like, is that acceptable now?
That would, like, be funny. You could have like an old like No Limit verse Cash Money like battle. That would be fun.
The verses. The Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, just
comes out. I'm gonna teach y'all all how to make crack from cocaine.
Anyway, the game, Jason. The game.
And there was a football game.
I mean, I don't know. I just remember the second half was good. I don't remember as much about it anymore. I mean,
What's the funny thing is, so when I know we had predicted winners but didn't predict scores. When I did my show with Good Jeff, with predicting scores, I predicted that the Chiefs would win 25-17. So I got the 20, and he was like, 25? Who picks 25? I'm like, something weird's gonna happen. There's gonna be a lot of field goals or something. So I actually nailed the 25 for the Chiefs, which was the funny thing. Just missed the score of the 49ers.
I mean, it is wild. The missed extra point came into play, which, really, you know, allowed them to go into overtime. And it's, I guess, the biggest talking point was the 49ers taking the ball first in overtime. Especially
they came out and said they didn't know the rules as well.
Well,
that's
the players
really
didn't.
Bad.
The coach said he chose to get he did know the rules and he did it on purpose. And the reason he did, he said, is so if one team scores a touchdown, then the other scheme scores a touchdown, the person who gets the ball third is actually the one that has the chance to, that's when it goes to sudden death. Mm. So his point was, well, if we both score, like our intention is to go score a touchdown. If they tie us with a touchdown, then we've got the ball to end it. I think he's made the wrong decision, because you, if the other team goes down and kick a field goal, you just know you keep going.
And it's just tough too with Mahomes.
I mean, he was clear. I mean, he was the difference in the game. It just wasn't even close. If he's, I mean, by far the best quarterback playing.
Yeah, no, he is. And you know, even throughout the season, the Chiefs weren't playing well. You just knew that they were going to go on a run. It makes a massive difference when you've got the best player in the NFL on your team. I mean, at this point, I don't even know who is close to Mahomes, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Here's what we do. We will set up. This is Tunnel Vision. From planet to planet. Solar system to solar system. From galaxy to galaxy.
Wild, because I mean, they, outside of Kelce, like, they have no weapons. I mean, the fact that they got rid of Tyreek Hill and still have managed to win two Super Bowls is great. Now, look, his defense did a lot of that. Like, the defense just kept him in game, so that at the end of the game, it's like, all right, dude, go win it for us. But it is just amazing. It's got to be frustrating for all the other teams in the AFC and in that division that he's still only 28 years old, and you would think he's got at least another decade of this kind of thing. It's been incredible. It's been incredible to watch him do his thing.
I saw a crazy stat the other day, and I can't find it to quote it directly, but it was talking about over the last 5 years, Patrick Mahomes' depth. Okay, here it is. So his average length of touchdown passes. In 2019, his average length of touchdown was 17.3 yards, which is insane. 2020 goes from 17 to 13. 2021, it goes from 13 to 8.5. 2022, 4.5. And 2023, 3.9 yards per pass.
Jeez.
Like, so listen, there's a lot of things that I've always liked Patrick Mahomes, and I thought that it was crazy some of the stuff he got away with because he had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, by some of his just throw the ball up and I've got a guy that's faster or bigger and what are you going to do about it? Not to try and take away from his greatness, but he benefited from those two guys. What he's done the last couple years is just some of the best quarterback stuff that you'll ever see. I mean, again, over 5 years, this young kid has gone from 17.3 yards per touchdown to 3.9. That's a completely different style of football.
Yep.
I mean, that's in a different. Listen, I mean, I think we all probably said when he signed that huge contract, and if you're going to pay somebody $55 million a year or whatever, you can't win. I guess, yeah, you can if it's Patrick Mahomes.
Well, and I mean, you can make, and this will be a discussion we'll have probably next week about the Saints cap situation. Like, you can make it work, but you have to draft incredibly well. And that's something that they've done over the last couple seasons, is draft really well. They got a lot of young talent. I mean, that defense is amazing. Like, it just makes me sad that in the peak Breeze, like, we didn't have a defense like this, because
we'd have gone.
Yeah.
Dynasty, I mean, mode on the league.
You know, so many times that Breeze gave us the lead in the fourth quarter only for our defense to give it right back up. And it's frustrating. He's like by far the most out of anybody else. And it sucks when you can get a quarterback like that and you can't take advantage. Whereas now the Chiefs have taken advantage of it. So, but I mean, overall, a fun Super Bowl. I mean, I'm glad the 49ers didn't win. I was not pulling for the 49ers to win. That's another loss for Kyle Shanahan. Two as a head coach, one as the coordinator that blew the biggest lead in Super Bowl history.
It's sad that they would waste the talents of one of the greatest quarterback coaches in the history of this league.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. They couldn't send him off to his new job with a Super Bowl ring, could they?
It's just going to keep having more driven, right?
Well, that's it keeps him hungry. Keeps him hungry. So, I mean,
he's going to be hungry for a long time.
Well, the good thing is we have a lot of food here. That'll keep him satiated. So, yeah, that with the Super Bowl over, I know it was unofficial until then. But earlier this week, we officially announced Clint Kubiak as the offensive coordinator. So, getting an offensive innovator and at this point, after what we saw from the Saints last year, seems like pretty much anything was going to be an improvement. So we'll see whether it works out or not. But at least you do have to give the Saints credit for acknowledging that there was a problem with the offense. And we're kind of locked in a little bit on the roster. So at least they addressed the coaching side of things. And I know they've hired a couple other assistants. Again, we'll see how it plays out. But at least I guess, applaud the Saints for doing something.
Well, you be careful there.
Look, my records prediction is still 7-9, right? I'm not changing that. But at least it's better than bringing back fucking. Yeah. It's going to be a bottom five schedule for winning percentage. So y'all will talk yourselves into 11-12 wins again.
No,
of course it will. No, not this year.
Oh, come on.
No, not this year.
All right, I'm going to save this tape. It's happening.
Not this year. We'll see. We'll see.
Just wait till the draft show. You're going to scream 13.
I mean, so I'll just legitimately say his dad is one of the better offensive minds that coached offensive football, our offensive side of football there's been in years. So he at least was in the house with somebody that was a professional quarterback and then became an incredible offensive coordinator. So he's been having conversations about this kind of stuff for years. And then to go and, spend more time with Shanahan directly is Jason, what you wanted was a guy that was a younger guy that up and coming, that's going to have some ideas. This guy's got the pedigree and he's got the Harvard degree and he went to Yale after that. Like this is, if you're going to take a shot on a young guy, this is the kind of guy, this is who you want to take that shot on. If you just look at, so like the way that the 49ers ran the ball, the scheme isn't so much different than the way the Saints quote unquote bones of their scheme are. The 49ers do some different things that allow them to have a lot more success that maybe he's going to bring in. So he doesn't have to just completely reinvent the wheel because he's got similar ideas to what we used to do. Just he has a different way of having it be successful.
It looks like he'll care about his job compared to Pete.
Yeah. Well, and then crazy thing. I mean, Brock Purdy's been to the Super Bowl and to the NFC Championship game in his 2 years starting. But I've watching him, he does every once in a while, like I think anybody at this level going to make a great play. He gets rattled a lot. And to me is not one of the top seven quarterbacks in the NFL for me. But this offensive scheme has made him really successful and has made it easy on him to get the ball out of his hands quickly and have people open. If he can help Derek Carr in that way, I think it's huge. I know Derek Carr, obviously, Brock Purdy had a lot of three-step drops, and he was successful with those. Derek Carr completed 82% of his passes this year on three-step drops. For his career, he has a 75% completion percentage when he has a three-step drop, which is better than what Drew Brees had in his Saints career.
Well, hold on.
It's a higher percentage.
You shut your damn mouth.
It is. It's 2% higher than what Drew Brees had.
That's like some kind of stat manipulation.
There are ways for Derek Carr to find success and get the ball to receivers. the if I mean if Clint Kubiak comes in and makes Derek Carr complete more passes and improves a running game, there's a lot there. I still think there's a ton of questions about what's going to happen with our roster, offensive and defensive.
Yeah, look, there's a lot.
And how we're going to fill it. We're going to lose a couple of starters. And we got a couple other starters that are going to get a year older that I thought last year were too old.
That's no easy way to replace them. We don't have a ton of draft picks. And I don't know what we're going to bring in free agency. But, yeah, I mean, you know, one thing we saw last year so many times, guys were open and he just didn't get rid of the ball. I mean, right. To me, that would be just a massive – just fix that. I mean, guys were able to get open. Now, again, we'll see. I mean, I guess we'll still have Olave and Shaheed, Michael Thomas. We'll see. But
Can't imagine we'll have Michael Thomas next year.
But, I mean, one of the biggest things is going to be, you know, what can they do with the offensive line? Are we going to be able to get anything out of Penning this year? Because we need to. We're kind of stuck. I mean, you're locked in on contracts with a bunch of these guys. And we'll dig in more detail when we talk about the cap probably next week. But
yeah,
you know how much.
At this point, there's got to be a thought to moving Penning inside, right? To try him inside.
I think they're gonna try a lot of things, but I mean, I think that Penning the interviews that we've seen, I think that everybody believes that Penning has the physical tools to do it. And from the interviews, it seems like that Penning does. I mean, he hasn't given up on it. It's like, oh well, it didn't work. He seems like somebody that's going to put in work. And, you know, we saw a first round draft pick like Ruiz, who actually was higher graded. I mean, he was a center slash guard, so he didn't have he wasn't going to go as high as Penning, but was a higher graded coming out of college, have a terrible time switching to the NFL. It took a few years. And then for whatever reason, I mean, Penning was injured his first year and a half, basically, you know, or year and second training camp.
Definitely didn't.
I mean, new coaches, new ideas, new. I mean, a whole off season where hopefully he's healthy. Having said that, like, you also can't put him out there if he doesn't figure it out in training camp. Like, it's just, it didn't work.
And yeah, it's a sunk.
You cannot go in with Trevor Penning being a projected starter. Like, you have to go in with it's Trevor Penning or this guy. I mean, and the other guy has to have a legitimate shot of beating him out. If the this is the year he's going to make it is the number one game plan, you're screwing up bad.
Yeah, look,
we'll see. You're talking about Pete's probably going to leave. Andrews Pete. He's going to get somebody's going to offer him some money. He had the best season of his career last year. And James Hurst is probably he's going to be a starter on this team, and he's going to be a year older, and he's been okay, but he's going to continue to be. Okay, I do worry about the offensive line because I think Ramczyk's older, more injured. I mean, a lot of people, it sounds like they're saying they think he should retire, but he's saying he's going to give it another go, maybe get some stem cells.
Oh my god!
But what, we owe him $16.9 million or 16.6 or something. Of course, he's going to give it another go.
And
I'll go give it a go.
Yeah, but then, yeah. And I'm sure we're gonna have to restructure him to get under the cap, which was going to give us more dead money for him, which is you know, I don't want to speak
McCoy's
too much on
the that. One. McCoy's the one piece I feel good about.
Yeah.
Like, and that sucks because that's one person. I mean,
but
Nick
at least
Saldivari
he's the anchor
didn't...
of your line, so at least the anchor's good. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to. Yeah, it's dicey. It's dicey, but maybe the new coaching staff can kind of help overcome some of our shortcomings.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there are schemes that get. Hey, and to be fair, San Francisco had a great offensive line last year, and I believe even had like somebody's trash tackle that they brought in that wasn't rated to be that good that ended up being their starter and playing well. So we'll kind of see what comes out of that.
I'm sure we'll talk about
just different position group, but the Keith Williams hiring, I'm interested in and excited about to see what he can do, purely because, like, I guess it's not the route you hear about a lot, but he's basically a private one-on-one wide receivers coach 4 years ago who Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams give a lot of credit to developing them. And hate Tyreek Hill as a person, but Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams are two of the best wide receivers in the league the last decade. And now he's been with the Ravens a few years. And for somebody like Zay Flowers, who nobody gave a crap about and who came a superstar this year. And then, listen, Hollywood Brown doesn't look that good anywhere besides Baltimore. I mean, again, there's a few guys that he has developed there in Baltimore. It'd be interesting to see what he can do with. I mean, you're talking about our top three receivers are young. Olave and Rashid and A.T. Perry. They all three. I mean, Olave shows flashes of being one of the best wide receivers in the league. The other two show flashes of, oh, wow, there's something here. But they're also guys that 3 years from now you could never hear about again. Both of them. As wide receivers. Rashid Shaheed can be a returner. But both of those guys, if you told me in 2027 you weren't hearing either one of their names, or maybe they'll be on a UFL team that we're covering, that wouldn't shock me. Having said that, I think either one of them, the three of them together, can become a great wide receiver group in a couple of years.
There's a lot of potential, and really just, man, if you can get Olave to go up a level, because like you said, he's been very good in his short time in the league, but he's not all consistent. But if you can turn him to like a, you know, all pro type guy.
He made three or four plays last year. They're like three of the top 25 catches in the entire season. Of everybody, like in the league, like he also had some drops and fumbles again. You know, he's still working on stuff.
So yeah, there is potential, and it does go back to the point. Like, look, I have to applaud the Saints, acknowledging that there was a problem on the offensive coaching staff, and they addressed it, and they didn't just. The big thing to me is I just didn't want us to. Well, nobody wants to interview, or nobody wants to come. Come on, John Gruden, you're here. You know Derek Carr. Like, I just didn't want that lazy. To me, that just screams lazy, and the Saints have done a lot of lazy things over the last few years, so I like that they were aggressive.
This was a true overturning of the entire offensive staff, and it doesn't seem like they took any shortcuts to any of the positions. It looks like there's no legacy hires here. This looks like all like people that deserve a shot, and it's a lot of younger guys with less experience, so that's kind of, that can be scary, but it can also be like let's take a look at things.
I'm more than willing to fail with younger guys.
I think that we're getting really close to, I mean, after the Lattimore trade and after Michael Thomas signs somewhere else,
God, that's gonna be,
they're happening after the Lattimore trade and after Michael Thomas signs somewhere else, like almost all fingerprints of Sean Payton are gone from this team. I mean, unless you want to count Peyton Turner. I mean, but it's getting really, really close to there's just not anybody that can roll. Well, you know what we used to do? Remember that one time? That's pretty close.
There's going to be five, maybe six players on the roster.
Maybe.
When they go. Left. Alvin Kamara, Ryan Ramczyk, Demario Davis, Cam Jordan, Peyton Turner.
I mean, if we're talking about, and if you want to go to like players that played 2 years under Peyton, it's going on like two. Yeah. Two players. It'll be down to like two.
Yeah, but you know, we're going into Dennis Allen's third season, and he's really got to make this season work for him. Otherwise, he's
out of here, and he should be.
Y'all remember like the first year that we were like, oh, not a single person on this team was here for the Super Bowl. And here in a couple years, we're going to have not a single person on this team ever played with Sean Payton or Drew Brees.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's,
we're not too far away from that.
Yeah. That's not at all. It's the circle of life, but I know they've set it up to do so. I do not want to fucking trade Marshawn Lattimore. I think that would be, I mean, unless you can get a first round pick for him. And even then it's like,
I don't know how we're going to get out of it. It seems like the team has accepted that's happening.
Wow, that's why we're stuck in the quandary that we're in. Man, we were so positive, and then now I just got negative for a second.
And I'll just say, like, I agree that we shouldn't trade him. And if I'll also say that if next season he, for whatever team he goes to, plays three games and is out the rest of the year, and if Alante Taylor makes a great adjustment or whoever comes in to play cornerback does great, I will not say like, oh wow, I'm glad we did that. Like I think it's a rough one.
Yeah, not great. Not great, Bob. All right. Man, hate to end on such a downer. Any final thoughts? Anything positive? Oh yeah, the NBA All-Star. Yeah, the NBA All-Star game last weekend. I didn't watch just because
Okay, well, so I never intended to watch it. I was going to watch the first quarter. So I turned it on at the time that the game was supposed to start. And 38 minutes later, the game started. And it was the worst 38 minutes of sports coverage I've ever seen, where they're just kind of sitting around. Like, it was the weirdest thing. Like, it was not a hyped pregame of people that wanted to be there. It was the weirdest, strangest thing.
I mean, maybe a lot of it was because it's the weekend. It's like Friday and Saturday, and people were all hungover, maybe?
I don't know. But I watched maybe 3 minutes of the All-Star game, and it just was, I mean, just people. I don't know. It's not basketball. It's people shooting baskets, but it's not playing basketball. And it's not interesting.
Even Saturday night isn't exciting. I mean, you got a G Leaguer wins the dunk contest. Nobody wants to do it. But
that guy has played three games and won two. He's played three NBA games and won two dunk contests.
Mm-hmm. He's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy.
Yeah.
How is that a thing?
Well, so something like there's been a lot of discourse. Oh, the All-Star game's broken, whatever. And yeah, some of that's true, but it brings a bigger issue that not a lot of people talk about. I think Adam Silver is a bad commissioner. He's allowed the players to completely take 100% over the league and do what they want to do. He's just a soft pussy.
Didn't he announce that he's out in 3 years? Didn't he announce something like that?
The MLB commissioner is out in 2029. Okay. So that means he gets five more years to ruin baseball. But no, I think Adam Silver is going to get an extension. But like he's been a terrible commissioner, and nobody calls him out for his bullshit. They got rid of, you can't play defense anymore. The officiating sucks. Players play or don't play. I mean, you get farces like the All-Star game. It's a shit show. Like there's so much bullshit. Like, even the networks don't cooperate in the off season. Like, oh, where's this player going to go? Where's this player going to go? They shit on smaller markets. Like, it's just a weird. I mean, I don't know. It's amazing that the NBA still has some kind of success. Yeah,
I guess smaller markets are going to benefit from the new cap structuring. In general, smaller markets are. Having said that, it's popping in at the exact wrong time for the Pelicans, who have like seven players that they're gonna have to pay.
Drafted well, right?
I really mean it. The Pelicans are screwed because you got to pick three of these guys, maybe two, maybe. And it's just people are gonna get paid, offered some more to go somewhere else. And
I mean, well, the one thing we've never paid the tax, so we've had all those tax savings from the last 10 years.
Well, now the tax comes with penalties beyond just money.
Yeah,
you lose draft picks, you lose the ability to sign, you lose the ability to trade for people. Like, it's actually penalties, and it's funny. Like, you're like, this is a rule that should help small market. It just the one small market team that we care about is it's the wrong time to come in and help them at all.
Yeah, I think he's been terrible, and nobody calls him out for it. It's
that All-Star game on the back end of the NFL Pro Bowl or whatever they're doing is just they shouldn't exist. I don't like him.
Yeah, at this point, just do don't bother playing a game. I mean, even if you could get good players in the dunk contest, at least it's something. But at this point, like we've seen every dunk known. Like what other dunks can you do outside of, hey, let's jack up the rim to 12 feet or 13 feet. Like that's the only other thing. Put trampolines out there. Like, I don't know what else you could do.
Just have Madame Butterfly perform.
But I mean, like I didn't watch a single second of All-Star Weekend.
I saw
what it used to be.
I saw the highlights of Steph Curry shooting a 3-point contest against a woman, and he won. She did really good, but she lost.
Maybe one of the better things of the
yeah, world. It was. But the funny thing that comes out of it is Kenny Smith actually says something who I don't like, but says something really smart of, for this to be fair, she should shoot from the women's 3-point and he should shoot from the men's. Because that's what she's done her entire life. But yeah, I agree. Let's make it fair. Why make her move back and shoot from a deeper distance than what exists in her game? Kenny Smith has been like called out for being sexist by he actually said something that like is standing up for her, that this isn't fair. She barely lost. She would have won if it had been a fair contest. And everybody's calling him a jerk for comparing him. It's just crazy.
What I did watch is Tiger Woods play a day and a half and then withdraw from sickness, which was weird.
You mean advertise his new shit for a day and a half?
Yeah, his new Sunday Red isn't great, especially since he can't seem to last to Sunday anymore. But apparently there was something going around, like everybody was getting sick. Like Cantlay was sick Sunday. Jordan Spieth, like he signed the incorrect scorecard because he had to go take a shit.
They had multiple ambulances at the clubhouse.
Yeah, like Tom Kim almost missed his tee time on Sunday because he was running from the bathroom because he had to take a shit.
Like
something happened and really screwed up a lot of guys over there. So the good thing is, I feel better that it was a sickness and it wasn't like, oh shit, his back or his knee or his ankle or his or everything else that's wrong with him. So
I mean, if you have $1 billion. Multiple billion, whatever he has.
He's got a billion. If, he did get the worst.
And you've got a huge, huge, huge name and a brand that you are this brand. He should have been able to come up with a better logo. The logo sucks.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's funny, you...
Like, I like Tiger Woods. I'm not wearing that stupid logo. Like, it's too much like a Lacoste logo, and it's ugly. It's a bad logo.
I mean, to me, why couldn't it just be like a classic Tiger fist pump? Like, that's a perfect logo to have, almost like the Jumpman. But it's like somebody posted a Twitter, like if you turn his logo on its side, it looks like a fused back, which is what he's got. But really, like just the him fist pumping, like that's all you need as a logo. People know who that is. They recognize it like the Air Jordan Jumpman. Like I don't.
What about his car upside down on the freeway? Would that have worked?
Oh, man. Or like a 9-iron through a windshield of an Escalade.
Yeah, all that. Yeah, all that.
So we'll see. He said he's going to play once a month, so that would put him at the Players next week. We'll see what happens. But got a little bit of Tiger excitement. James, you got anything? Anything going on over there that's exciting?
Anything going on over here that's exciting? No, not really. England's pretty boring at the moment, I'll be completely honest with you. I mean, the Premier League, you know, Man United.
Chelsea and Man City had a fun match.
They did. Chelsea, that was a
Chelsea,
good game.
Chelsea might be good this year.
They've left. Yeah.
I mean, and they were winning that game for a while.
Yeah. No, they played really well. They played really well, but no, it's there's an exciting title race. There's three teams: Liverpool, Man City, and Arsenal that are going for the Premier League.
Who would like Man City Arsenal? Won. What kind of terrible.
No. Man City won tonight, Tuesday. Yeah.
If y'all have Paramount Plus, the movie The Holdovers came out on there, and it's Paul Giamatti is a boarding school teacher.
Oh yeah, he's got a lazy eye or something.
Yeah. It's interesting relationship between him and a student. It's a throwback to some, like, if you grew up with School Ties and Dead Poet Society. I mean, it's got some stuff like that. It's a legitimately, like, I mean, it's a slower moving 2-hour movie that's, you know, supposed to make you have feelings and all like that, but it also has some legitimately super funny parts that will make you like chest laugh out loud or belly laugh out loud. It's got some really good stuff in it, so I recommend the movie. It's good.
You would recommend that over Madam Web?
Man, that tell you what, hey, What's her name? Dakota Johnson recommends it over Madam Web.
Yeah.
So the Madam Web thing is that I think I've heard that there's less than 8 minutes of them actually in costume in the entire movie. Huh. And that basically that the movie makes no sense. And like it was seriously Sony's like, oh shit, we got to put out a Spider-Man movie.
Or we lose the rights. That's
just,
all it is.
Just in case we ever want to have put out a good Spider-Man movie.
It's amazing that like shit like that come out because of that. But Warner Brothers, like just actual movies that get made, they're just like, no, we're just going to take a tax write-off. Not going to be released. Nobody's going to see it.
I'm telling you, give me Sydney Sweeney. I can make a Spider-Man movie for $20 million.
Yeah.
Plus Sydney Sweeney's, you know, quota, whatever you pay her.
Yeah.
That everybody will like. I will be web slinging.
Yeah. It's amazing that you can still make a movie.
The Fantastic Four.
Oh,
yeah. Hey, listen, I won't ever be too excited because I don't know if anybody can make a good Fantastic Four movie, but they nailed the casting. Nailed the casting.
They did.
We got Richie's stepping up to. It's gonna be awesome.
I can see him being pissed off. But it does look. It looks like it's probably gonna take place in the 60s.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So.
Well, they nailed the casting for that. Whatever they're gonna do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be a little exciting. So. All right.
And we're getting really close to Dune too. We're a week and a half away from Dune 2 coming out.
I'm going to have to watch Dune 1 before.
All of the advance stuff coming out about it makes it sound spectacular.
Like they're talking about like clapping and screaming and like it's getting in the because it got screened in the UK last week and everybody just lauding it as one of like the greatest movies ever.
So that's why they came out with. All right, and with that, we'd like to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Hit that like and subscribe button. Hey, if you want to hit the download, you can listen to it anytime, anywhere.
Do it.
Bye bye, football.
The Dome Patrol podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network.